One of the most famous episodes in the history of philosophy was the excommunication of the great Dutch thinker Baruch Spinoza. Well, today Spinoza is revered as one of the founding fathers of the Enlightenment, but back in 1656, he was branded a heretic by the Portuguese Jewish community in Amsterdam. His expulsion has haunted generations of Jews, but recently the Portuguese congregation in Amsterdam wondered if Spinoza should be exonerated. So they called on a few of the world's leading Spinoza scholars. Steve Paulson recently sat down with one of them, University of Wisconsin philosopher Steve Nadler.
Steve, you were one of several scholars who were recently asked to evaluate Spinoza's excommunication and whether it should be lifted, which I have to say is a little odd to consider. Why would anyone still care if Spinoza was a heretic?
I think partly it's a matter of a feeling of justice that there was a great wrong done by the Jewish community of Amsterdam and perhaps by Judaism at large, although you really can't speak of Judaism at large since there's no Jewish Vatican or Jewish Pope.
And over the years, various people have called for Spinoza to be exonerated. For instance, David Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel.
That's right. And some rabbis over the years. The trouble is that they were completely unauthorized. The only people with any authority to lift the cherem against Spinoza would be the community that issued the cherem in the first place. So it was only the Portuguese Jewish community of Amsterdam that had the authority to even consider lifting the cherem.
So you and several other Spinoza scholars were asked to consider his case?
We were, but only as outside advisors. A member of the Portuguese congregation recently asked the congregation itself to consider lifting the cherem. And the leaders of the community and the rabbi felt that they really needed some more information about Spinoza's philosophy. And so they sent us each a number of questions about who Spinoza was, what were his main philosophical themes, what were the circumstances of the cherem, and in our opinion, what would be the benefits and drawbacks of having the cherem lifted.
Well, before we get to what you decided, we should talk a little bit about why Spinoza was such a radical thinker. His family were Sephardic Jews,
right,
who had fled Portugal years earlier because of the Inquisition persecuting Jews.
That's right. The community, in fact, of Amsterdam's Portuguese Jews were mostly former conversos, that is, Jews who had been forced to convert to Catholicism in Spain or Portugal in the late 15th and early 16th centuries. Many of these families, still ostensibly Catholics, moved to Amsterdam where they were allowed to practice Judaism openly. And so by the early 17th century, you have a fairly sizable community of Portuguese Jews, former conversos, who needed some help reconverting to Judaism.
So it was a loaded issue. I mean, what it meant to be Jewish in Amsterdam in the mid-17th century.
Absolutely.
I mean, there was the weight of history that was sort of hanging over these people.
That's absolutely right. And the rabbis had to enforce fairly rigorously what they regarded as a strict enough Jewish behavior to constitute this community.
So my understanding is that Spinoza grew up in a well-to-do family. He was a young merchant, and he started developing these radical ideas.
He did, and at a fairly young age, by his early 20s, there's good reason to think that he had really lost his Jewish faith, and he would eventually end up denying the providential God of most Abrahamic religions. So for Spinoza, God is just nature. There's no moral characteristics of God. God is not benevolent, just, or wise. In my view, Spinoza is essentially an atheist, somebody who thinks that all there is nature.
And what about the Hebrew Bible? I mean, was there divine inspiration there?
It depends what you mean by divine inspiration. There's a really important moral message in Hebrew scripture. It's a very simple one, and it's simply love your fellow human being and treat them with justice and charity. Everything else is a matter of storytelling and imaginative prophecies. Spinoza really was the first to argue in any extended way that Scripture is not literally the Word of God. Spinoza argues that what we have in Scripture are simply a compilation of human literature.
That must have been a radical thing to say in the 17th century.
Extremely radical. There were earlier thinkers who would deny that Moses did not write all of the Torah. But to say that the Bible itself is nothing but a work of human literature was a very radical thing, because the Torah and Scripture was supposed to be a source of truth.
So here was this young man, obviously this brilliant thinker, who was talking about this stuff publicly, right? And he was excommunicated when he was how old?
23.
Yeah. And then the language that the Jewish congregation there used to condemn him was strong. I mean, they said that he had committed abominable heresies and monstrous deeds. They said they would excommunicate, expel, curse, and damn Spinoza.
It is by far the longest, the most vitriolic cherem text of the period. In Spinoza's case, the document really holds out no hope for reconciliation. This is final. This is the end for him.
So he was booted out of his community.
Yeah, but I get the sense, my view from what I know of Spinoza's life and his thought, and also some documents from the period suggest that he was on his way out anyway.
Hmm. So this didn't really bother him?
As far as we can tell, no. He has reportedly said that they're not doing anything to me that I would not have willingly undertaken by myself.
So here you and these, three other scholars had been given the task of evaluating Spinoza and talking about, okay, should his excommunication be lifted? What did you decide?
Three of us felt that there was no point in lifting the excommunication. First of all, because a cherem is a personal ostracism from a particular community in his or her lifetime. But when the person is dead, there seems to be no point to lifting a cherem. And Spinoza really, as far as most of us could tell, couldn't care less if the cherem were lifted. So it wasn't clear what the point would be.
And so, your own view was, yeah, Spinoza was a heretic.
He, by 17th century standards. Now, let me say at the outset that I am not in favor of cherems. It's still a practice done in Orthodox communities today. And I am firmly opposed to punishing people in any context for the expression of ideas. So I do not think it was a good thing for Spinoza to be put into cherem. Let me be absolutely clear about that. However, as a historian or somebody who studies the history of philosophy, it seems perfectly clear to me why he was put under cherem.
To step away from this particular case and, Spinoza's excommunication, I mean, one thing that I find fascinating is how popular Spinoza remains to this day. I mean, even more so than the other great 17th century rationalist, Descartes. Most people today say, yeah, Descartes was tremendously influential, but he was wrong on all kinds of things. And Spinoza seems to occupy a special place in the hearts and minds of a lot of people today. He seems contemporary in some
ways.
It's
true. You don't run into a lot of Cartesians or Leibnizians these days, but you do run into people who are, I suppose I'm one of them, are obsessed by Spinoza, in part because we think he got it right. And especially to my mind, I think to the minds of a lot of people today who admire Spinoza, his views on religion, personal faith, and the relationship between faith, reason, and politics.
It sounds like Spinoza also was the forerunner of the European Enlightenment, the dawn of secular thinking. I mean, Spinoza was talking about this before it became widely accepted among European intellectuals.
I think that's absolutely right. And Spinoza is often portrayed as being the first secular Jew or the first Reformed Jew. I think that's wrong. I think what Spinoza represents is the first truly secular individual, somebody for whom identification with a religious faith played no role in his sense of who he is.
Now, I know you have devoted much of your career to the study of Spinoza. You've written a lot about him, which does raise the question, why should we care about Spinoza or any of the 17th century philosophers? I mean, obviously they are of historical importance, but are there anything more than that?
Well, that's a huge question that you could ask about the history of philosophy itself. Why should we bother still reading Plato and Aristotle? You read philosophy because you're interested in the truth. And sometimes what philosophy, especially historical philosophers, give you, even when they get it wrong, they help eliminate false paths. But Plato got a lot right. He pointed us toward a conception of what knowledge is. Aristotle had a lot to say that still is of relevance in the field of ethics. I think in Spinoza's case, especially in today's society where there's a greater trend towards secularism, people want to know, what does it all mean? I don't think you can get a really informed answer or even a path to approaching that question without reading the great philosophers.
Well, that is a good place to leave it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Steve Nadler is a philosopher at the University of Wisconsin. He spoke with Steve Paulson.